The subject from this talk came to me from a birthday card that I received from an old boyfriend when I was about 18. But the verse was so nice that it's always stayed with me. And the verse is this. Isn't it strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and ordinary folk like you and me are builders of eternity? To each is given a bag of tools, an hourglass and a book of rules, and each must build, or his time has flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Now, I think that was a real nice verse, and it's reminded me throughout my life, do I want to be a stumbling block or a stepping stone? In other words, how would you like people to think about you if you weren't no longer here? Is your life going to be a stumbling block that people stumble over? Or is it going to be a stepping stone? And is your problem going to be a stepping stone or a stumbling block? Because we have the choice to make it either one. Because it's never the problem itself that matters, but what we do about it. Now let's take a look at some of the problems that we in the world have to meet. Supposing your problem is lack and limitation. You're in debt and can't seem to get out of it, and there just doesn't seem to be any solution. Your business is failing, or you've lost your job, or been through a divorce, and you've no money at all. Well, I think the thing to do is start thinking of your problem as an opportunity to turn the problem into a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. Now you're probably thinking, well, just how do you do that? Well, we begin by knowing that there's no lack or limitation in the divine mind. Every problem in the world has the belief of lack or limitation behind it. It's not just lack of money. There's lack of understanding, especially our understanding of God. There's lack of love, companionship, joy, peace, lack of energy, enthusiasm, vitality, or even lack of ideas, for instance. We could just go on and on. But if God's law is infinity, then that means there's nothing but infinity in the mind that is God. Just think about that. Infinity. No lack or limitation. Endless. The dictionary says, boundless space. An incalculable or very great number. An infinite quality, quantity, or magnitude. Infinite. Infinite ideas that God has to meet our needs. So if God is the only mind, and He is, then the only mind you now have or ever have had is the infinite mind of God. And it is only animal magnetism that insists you are a mortal mesmerized by the fear of lack. But you're not an animal body. As the Christian Science textbook tells us, you are the child of God. And as a child of God, you express only infinity, because God's being is infinity, harmony, and boundless bliss. So that is your being right now and always. There's no lack or limitation there, only super abundance. I've had a lot of limitation to overcome in my own life. And I could tell you many stories, but right now I'll tell you one of them. Some years ago, when my children were at school for Christian Scientists in England, at a boarding school, my marriage had broken up and my husband and I had sold our family home. And with what I got out of that money, I had bought an old house that needed an awful lot doing to it. But I didn't have enough money to even pay my mortgage every month. And my husband had taken all my furniture. And the only furniture in the house was my bedroom. and a broken down settee in my living room, and I didn't have carpets or any furniture at all. And I was really praying to understand supply better. I was praying for answers. But one day, a neighbor who had a guest house came and asked me if I would take a man in to be a lodger because her house was overbooked. And I brought her into the house and I said, I would love to do that, but I can't. As you see, I haven't the furniture to do it. She said, well, this man's an engineer and he works long hours and I don't think he's worried about your carpets and all the rest of it. She said, why don't you let him have your bedroom and you sleep in the broken down settee? So the man came and he seemed quite happy with the arrangement and I took him in. And for a month I slept in this broken down settee. And at the end of that month, when he gave me his money, I went to the auction and I bought some furniture for another room and a carpet. And I finished that room and I thought, tonight I'll get Jimmy in here and I can sleep in my own bed. But Jimmy came home with another man who was looking for a room. So I went on sleeping on the settee for another month. At the end of the month, he brings home another man. Finally, he brought home another man. And by this time, I was tired out, sleeping in the settee. And the new man said to me, I hear that you have a problem furnishing rooms, but I'm not worried where I sleep, and I could sleep in the bath, but you have your own bedroom. Now, I learned a lot of lessons through this. The little guest house started from there and it went on to be a success. But I learned that I was looking for God to meet my needs in some big way. That I didn't think a guest house was a good idea. That I didn't think I should be doing all this work because I simply wanted to do my practice. But the first thing I learned from this lesson was humility. That we have to humble ourselves. And another thing I learned is that things don't always work out the way we think they should. That God's ways are different to our ways. And I could see that these men filled a void in my life because my marriage had broken down, my children had gone off to school in England, and I was very much alone. And these men became like big sons to me. And I was carrying on a practice of Christian Science at that time, albeit it was a very small practice. But I was able to do both. And Mrs. Eddy says that humility is the stepping stone to a higher recognition of deity. I'll repeat that. Mrs. Eddy says that humility is the stepping stone to a higher recognition of deity. So I had a higher recognition of God through this experience because I learned that God wasn't going to suddenly send me a whole lot of money and make it too easy for me. I learned that I needed to have the humility to see that I needed more company in my house and in my life. And these men became like big sons to me. They did lots of things around the house that needed done and took care of me and were very protective towards me. So I saw that at that stage, that's what I needed. And I went on with that guest house until I became a Christian Science lecturer. And then I gave it up. I kept this guest house going very successfully until I was appointed to the Board of Lectureship. So don't be afraid to be humble and recognize the good that's already there. Sometimes we're so busy waiting for the big demonstration that we don't see what's right under our noses. Like the woman who was waiting for God to visit. This woman was a Christian woman and she prayed to God a lot. And one day she got a message from the Bible that God was going to visit her that day. So she got up and she cleaned her house She cleaned all the brasses and all the silver, and she polished all the furniture. And her door knocked, and a little boy stood there. And he said he was looking for work. Did she have any jobs for him? She said, go away, I haven't time. God's going to visit me today. Go away. And after a while, a beggar man came to the door, and he was looking for bread or something to eat. And she said to him, go away, go away. God's coming to visit me today. She chased him away. Thirdly, a neighbor came to the door who brought her a cake and said, I was just thinking about you and I brought you this cake. And she said, well, I don't want it. It would mess up my nice kitchen. I'm having a visit from God today. But God never showed up. And that night she was crying. She was in tears. And she said, God, you told me that you were going to visit me today. And he said, I was there three times, but you didn't recognize me. So we need to see that God comes in different ways to us. It's like the man in the Bible who was waiting by the pool for someone to help him in. He waited for 38 years until Jesus told him to arise and walk.